verse number 1. It's familiar scripture in a Pentecostal church, but it's where I feel like preaching from. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This morning, I want to ask you a question before we get started. How many of you right here this morning need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There's several here. It's my heart's desire and prayer that we could leave. You believe, I don't know, Brother Donnell's gone. Brother Jim's, I guess he's the closest thing we had to a director. Is it legal if we get the Holy Ghost on a morning service? Would that be all right with some of you? I believe we can have the power of God move in here this morning. I believe it's the will of God. Right here in this text, we find this group of believers who at this time in the past couple of months of their life has endured the greatest trial that they had ever faced in their life. Their Lord and Master, they had watched Him die. They had watched Him be buried. They seen Him after the resurrection, and now He's gone from their life. And when our text picks up, it's been approximately 50 days since the crucifixion from Passover to Pentecost. And the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Harvest, here is in full swing. The believers from all over that area had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. And the disciples and the ones that had stayed around, and I don't know what happened. The Bible said that Christ was seen at one time of over 500. But somehow or another, that crowd had dwindled down to 120 believers. And they're in this upper room, and they are awaiting the promise that Christ give them, that I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll pray the Father that He send you another comforter. He said, when I ascend back, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you somebody. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to comfort you. Acts 1 and 8 said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll receive power. He's going to be everything you need to guide you through this world. And they're following direct orders given by Christ to them to go and tarry at Jerusalem. And what I like about these disciples, and I wish we had this advantage, they had an advantage over us and about this Holy Ghost, Brother Nathan. They went to Jerusalem. They didn't have any preconceived ideas, Angela, about what was going to happen. All they knew is Christ told them, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the promise of the Father because Jesus is leaving. They've been used to Christ being their guide and being their leader, being their provider, being their comforter. It was when you remember when John was beheaded, the disciples, they gathered his body, and where'd they go? They went to Jesus. He was their comforter. He was their guide, and now he's leaving, and he's telling them, you can still have that same comfort and that same assurance, that same power and authority, but it's not going to be me in a carnate bodily form, but the third person of the triune Godhead. When I make it back to the Father, I'm going to send him down, and he's going to endue you with power. That's all they knew about the Holy Ghost. But they knew one thing. If Christ said, I need the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to do what he said to get in an upper room and shut the door, and I'm going to stay in there till he sends the power of God. They had an advantage over us because we've got all kind of preconceived ideas about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. When they went in the upper room, Brother Doodlebug, they didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. They didn't know anything about they was going to shout or maybe fall out or run or talk in tongues. I doubt very seriously there was anybody in there pushing on Peter, telling him, saying, come on, Peter. Let go, Peter. Turn loose, Peter. You know what I'm talking about. Don't you get up here and they get around you and you got somebody telling you to turn loose and let go and hold on. They didn't know anything about all of that, young people. All they knew was God said I could have power. Jesus said I could have an experience that would keep me when the hounds of hell were closing in on me. The Old Testament said that there was an experience that when the enemy come in like a flood, there's a spirit that would lift up a standard against him. And that's all they knew about the Lord. But it was enough to set them on fire that they shut themselves away for 10 days and sought diligently for the power of God. And they were behind closed doors. And I don't know what they did for 10 days. We've got our terminology that we use. We got our cliches that we use. Get sanctified, do this and do that and all of that. I don't know how they prayed, but I imagine that they were doing some soul searching. I imagine Peter was come off the heels of the greatest failure in his life. I know he had already repented, but if I know Peter like I read him, I imagine he was somewhere in a corner still weeping over the failure and praying to God, God, don't ever let me fail you again. I want this power you're talking about because that power is going to be what it takes to keep me from failing you again. I imagine Thomas was somewhere praying, and Lord, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. God, give me that power that I can believe. Mary's probably somewhere with a broken heart because her sons, they're praying. They're getting everything in order because they know that they need this power. I want to preach to you this morning about a Pentecost that is pending. A Pentecost that is pending. I was riding down the road one day, and as I was praying last night, it come back to my mind. I was riding down the road and a familiar sight to all of us, Brother Doodleboy. I seen a for sale sign in the front yard of a house. And on top of that sign, there was another smaller sign that said sale pending. Then I began to look at it, and the Lord began to deal with it. Maybe it's maybe it's not the greatest analogy, but I began to look at that for sale sign, and I realized there was a way for that seller, for that homeowner, to let everybody that's passing by know that this property is now available to anybody that's willing to come to my terms and meet me on my terms and pay the price that I'm asking. This property is now available. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying when he told them there that this promise, when he was leaving, and he let them know, Brother Nathan, that this promise is to every one of you. I believe what Christ was doing was letting every one of them know that this, there's no exclusive group. Nobody has a monopoly on this. But this is to whosoever will. The writer in the New Testament said it's to you. It's to your children. It's to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God would call. I believe the Lord's been talking to some young people this week and letting them know there is a promise from heaven and it's available to every one of you. There's not one group that's exclusive. There's not one group that's cast out. But it's readily available to every one of our young people this morning. Anyone, the other 500 that seen him, or the other 480, 380 that seen him, Brother Nathan, at that one time, though, of those 500, they could have had the same gift. All of those that were there, they could have had the same gift, but apparently they weren't willing to meet him on his terms. But there was 120 people gathered in that little room that said, I have found something that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I can attain it. It's something I've got to have. Have you ever seen people that get something in their mind, they want it so bad that they're willing to pay more than it's worth? You see people buy cars and buy houses, buy clothes, whatever. And you know good and well it's not, but they've got in their mind, I've got to have that. That's where these disciples and these women were at. They realized Christ said it's available. And they said, I've got to have it at any cost. I feel like when they went in that upper room, I don't know how it all worked out, but I feel like when they went in there and shut the door, I believe that the Holy Ghost put a sign up that said pending. I believe what it was when they got in there, these 120 men and women, they were doing business with the Lord. They were in there, you know, when you want to buy something, you go, you sit down, you go over the terms and the conditions and all of this. Brother Nathan, you show an interest in that. And then that person that's offering it tells you what it's going to take to get it. That's what they were doing here in this upper room. They were going over the details of it. They were going over everything. And finally, they come to the grips with the reality that if we're going to receive this promise, we're going to have to do it on God's terms. I believe that's why some people haven't yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're still trying to get God to meet them on their terms. God, I would love to have the Holy Ghost, but I'd rather you just do it my way. I really want the Holy Ghost, but I'm not willing to pay the price that you're asking. But I come to preach to you this morning. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, you're going to have to do it on God's terms. You're going to have to come to grips with reality and say, if I'm wanting the baptism, I'm going to have to be willing to pay the price. Believe what you see in my text, when the day of Pentecost were fully come, you know it front and back. They were in one place in one accord, and suddenly there appeared unto them from heaven, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it began to pour out in the streets. I believe when those doors open and those disciples, those men and women come out of that upper room, they were speaking in tongues. They were staggering around. They were accused of being drunk. I believe it was evident to everyone around them that they had closed the deal with the Lord. I don't know if any of the other ones that heard Christ give that promise was in the audience, but I believe it was evidence to everyone around that somehow or another, in those 10 days, they had gotten everything in their life squared away, and now they had received that Pentecostal power that Christ had promised when he had ascended. And right there in Jerusalem, God started a fire in a group of believers. It spread across the known world. It's carried on over 2,000 years later. But I've got good news this morning. The offer's still on the table for anybody that's willing to take God up on the offer. He's still offering the baptism of the Holy Ghost to every believer. I really feel like some of you this week, maybe at other camps this year, and I've noticed some of you, I've made mention to it, talking to some of the brothers. I've called some of your names. I said, man, I've really seen a change in them. I've really seen them getting in. I've really seen them digging. I've seen them crying and praying. I really feel like some of you is taking an interest in this offer that Christ has given. Over the past 5 days, I've seen some of you in the altars every service crying and praying and weeping. What is it? Brother Doodlebug, I believe if we could look in the realm of spiritual things, we'd see a sign on some of these young people's hearts and say, Pentecost is pending. What do you mean? Some of you's been doing business with the Lord this week. You've been in the altar every service. You've been weeping and crying and praying through. You've been cleaning up and getting rid of and moving up in God. And now right here on the last day of youth camp, I would like to see some of you seal the deal. I'd like to see some of you close it out this morning. I'm saying, God, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to do whatever it takes this morning to leave here endued with power from on high. There's certain terms that God demands. They're not hard. What does it take to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The first thing, you've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. How many of you right here this morning, you raised your hands that need the Holy Ghost? How many of you that raised your hands, you know without a shadow of a doubt, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Lift your hands again. Brother Nathan, that's the first step. You got to be covered by the blood. Some denominations, they skip over that step and move right into the speaking in tongues. But we believe this morning that you're saved through and by the blood of Jesus, and that alone. Nothing but the blood. So you met that criteria. There must also be a sanctified vessel. There must also be a vessel that has emptied themselves of the world. I know there's a lot of people that split hairs over the doctrine of sanctification, and I don't know how you believe it this morning. And if you believe in a second definite work or a progressive work, it doesn't really matter to me. I know for a fact that I definitely got sanctified to a certain point in my life at an altar of prayer. But I'm not so naive to believe in my own life that I got everything I needed in one trip to the altar. God's worked on me through the years. What does it mean? Sanctification is something you don't hear a lot about anymore, but it's a separation. Paul said, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies unto him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That verse is a perfect picture of sanctification. It's setting yourself apart from the world. It's emptying yourself of anything that would hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost. He won't fill a vessel that's not cleansed from sin. He won't fill a vessel that's not cleansed from self. A lot of people get cleansed from sin, but they have a problem getting cleansed from self. And that's why a lot of people don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're not willing to move up where God's talking to them about. That God doesn't give options to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you receive it, you'll be a sanctified, holy vessel. Not saying you'll be exactly to the place that you always need to be, but you'll be at a place where you've got a willing heart. It says, because understand, I don't know, in my life, I read several things in the Bible where we're sanctified. We're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the word. We're sanctified by the Spirit. The Bible says in one place to sanctify yourselves. So understand this morning, there's always room for improvement. But when you get to that place in God where you're totally free of yourself and saying, God, I'm done with this. I'm done with me. I'm done with my attitude. I'm done with my temper. I'm done with my pride and my arrogance, my worldliness, whatever it is. When you get to that place, you're getting a little bit closer to coming to terms with God's conditions. But then you get to that place. This is where I see a lot of young people. I really feel like, Brother Nathan, they're living as best as they know how. I believe that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. Was it Paul that went to them at Cornelius' house and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've not so much as heard if there be any Holy Ghost. He said, then what was you baptized unto? And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. That lets me know right there they was living right. John preached repentance. John preached come out from among the world. John preached a clean lifestyle, and they were living that to the best of their ability. But somebody come in and told them there's another level you can go to. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning, young people. This week you've prayed. I've seen some of you pray, and you've got to that place where I seen Brother Nathan. Where's he at, Brother Nathan? Is he in here? I'm looking for him. I seen him last night as he was there with his hands raised right over here in this corner with stammering lips, the Spirit of God moving on him. I've seen some of you young people pray to get so close to the Holy Ghost. But what I've seen a lot of times in people's lives, they get up to that point, and Brother Nathan, they just lose it. They fall apart. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to accept it. But young people, this morning, I'm not an expert. What I've seen in my lifetime is if you know you're covered by the blood, and you know you're living sanctified, you know your heart's right with God, the very next thing for you to do is to find you somewhere and lift your hands to God and begin to worship Him with everything that's within you. I don't want to take the scripture out of context that said the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Christ had not yet been glorified. I understand that was speaking. Christ had not yet ascended. But I believe the principle is relevant this morning. I've never, and this is my experience. I've never seen anybody get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with their head buried down somewhere saying, oh God, please, please, please give me the Holy Ghost, give me the Holy Ghost. I've never seen that. Maybe some of you others have. But what I've seen is when young people got hungry and young people got thirsty and they was willing to step out of their comfort zone and they were willing to do whatever God said, and most of the time it was with hands and hearts lifted up to God in worship and praise and magnifying the name of the Lord. And the next thing you know, I've seen them saying, Jesus, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I praise you. And they went from speaking in English to speaking in an unknown tongue, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out in their life. I want to preach to you this morning that the Holy Ghost is here and He's wanting to fill some young people. If you're willing to worship and you're willing to yield to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can leave here this morning filled with the Spirit. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do crazy stuff. It seems crazy. But you know what he's doing? He's not just trying to make you look foolish. But God, he likes to move us out of our comfort zone. He likes to get us out of that place. I remember the first time God ever dealt with me in church to run. I mean, you'd have thought he had dealt with me to sell everything I had and go to the mission field in the deepest jungles of Africa. That's what I felt like, because that was out of my comfort zone. Because I carry on and cut up a lot now, but Nathan, I was more quiet and more reserved. But when God began to push me out of that comfort zone, I began to realize that it wasn't necessarily that God just wanted to see me exert physical activity. He wasn't just trying to, get me out of breath, but he wanted to see if I was willing to move out of where I was used to being and move with the Spirit. And now I found when I feel him nudge my heart, I've always found that when I stepped out and obeyed the Lord, he met me there, Brother Nathan. I've done some stuff and said some stuff and preached some stuff, and people thought I'd lost my mind, but that was all right with me, because the only thing I needed confirmation was when the Spirit of God come down on me. I didn't need anybody's approval. I didn't need anybody patting me on the back. I didn't need anybody saying that's right. I knew when the Holy Ghost fell on me, that's all of the approval I needed. And I wish some young people this morning would get it in their heart that I'm going to get in the altar at this morning service, and I'm going to leave here full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I was at camp a couple of weeks ago. There were some young men praying. I was over there praying with the men. There were some young men praying, and Brother Vic, I mean, it was just like the Holy Ghost was all over them. Now, I'm not one, and if you are, don't fall out with me. I'm not one that tells people they got the Holy Ghost. I've seen some young people pray, and I've seen some older people pray, Brother Doodlebug, and I understand English. I can understand a little bit of Spanish, but they were speaking in a language that I had no idea what they were saying. They was talking in tongues. But when they got up, they didn't feel the assurance that they needed to feel. I didn't tell them, Sister Annie, that you got the Holy Ghost. Why? Brother Cliff, when the devil comes to him in a couple days and says, you didn't get the Holy Ghost, I don't want their only source of stability to say, well, Brother Jonathan said I did. But I've seen those same young people, when they finally prayed through to a place, Ansley, where the Holy Ghost showered down in their life, they didn't need anybody to tell them they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They didn't need anybody to give them a dissertation on theology or how the Holy Ghost works. They knew. How did they know? Because that power from heaven came down and filled them, and clove in tongues like a fire set down on them, and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit give them utterance. I'm going to close with somebody to get us a song this morning. I sang one of the Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled songs this morning. But I wouldn't embarrass Sister Carrie for the world. But when she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago at our camp meeting, the devil had fought her and fought her and fought her and fought her. Brother Vic, she was living right, living clean, living sanctified. Devil fighting her mind. She come in there. I watched her. She began to pray. Normally, a lot of times when it gets sideways, at church, we'd take the altars out. We'd still left them in there, and we was all watching her. And I seen it. It was like somebody said, somebody like he dropped a bomb. It was like somebody dropped a bomb. And I watched, and she was backing up, and she began to move with the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost fell on her. She began to speak in other tongues. She was backing up, Brother Nathan, and she hit the altar, and she fell back over the altar. She had on a long skirt, because that's what holiness girls wear. And she had on a long skirt. She fell back over the altar. Her legs went up in the air. Her skirt never moved. She come across there speaking in tongues, got back up, backing up, falling across, fell. But when she got up from there, sure, the devil tried to battle her mind. But there was something that experience give her from that day to this, that she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, that she received the Holy Ghost. She fought mind battles for years. And I know the devil still fights our minds, but there's some mind battles God give her victory over. I want to preach to you this morning. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's here to fill you. I'd like to see that pending sign this morning be changed, Brother Nathan, to sold. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost take possession. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost move in. and feel some of you young people. That would be the crowning moment, in my opinion, of this, is to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. As our sister begins to play, let's all stand. We got time for an altar. I understand on a morning service and we've had some other activities, our minds are scattered. But I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. He wants to baptize somebody with the Holy Ghost. I felt him last night impressing on my heart, preach on the Holy Ghost. And I want to fill him. Because understand, you're about to do what the disciples did when they left the upper room. They had to go back into reality. Some of you's been at camp for 2 weeks. Some of you's been to more camps than that this year. But youth camp season's about to be over. And reality's going to set in. Angela, you're going to go back to work. Matthew, some of you other ones going to go back to work. Go back and face reality. If you ever needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just now. To lead you and to guide you. To be with you. To teach you. If you're serious about the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, and you want God to fill you right here this morning, I want you to step out from your pew and come to this altar. He's here to fill you. Come on, young people. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to come first. If you need to pray through about some things, pray through. But if you know you pray through, you know you're living right, I want you to come up here and lift your hands and begin to worship the Lord. Those of you that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want us to gather in around these young people and help them pray and believe God with them that He'll fill them with the Holy Ghost. Like I said, you need to pray through. Go ahead and pray through. But once you know you pray through, once you don't know what else to say, you don't know what else to pray, just try lifting up Jesus. It's something about it. When you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, it's something about it. It seems like the Holy Ghost can't help but come and begin to move on our hearts. Come on, young people. Let's lift up the Lord this morning. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, young people, this morning. He wants to fill you.